Chicho.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 a.m.
That right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and
what
Coach. You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in, never stalling. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the L.A. Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it, no.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and it's the SRT crew in the building. Thanks for tuning in to the hottest sports talk radio show on radio. And I am your humble host, Mr. H.O. from Bankhead. As you all know, thanks for tuning in last week and this week. We got a great, great show for you. I am still trying to recover from the debacle that happened 2 weeks ago. But it is what it is. G Money is back in the building, and he's probably not speaking to me tonight because Duke did their thing against North Carolina last week. But you know how we do them Dukies. Actually, they play Virginia tonight, so hopefully that'll be a great, great game. A hot show for you tonight. We got the Hot 5 at 8. We got some sports updates. Got the water cooler report coming in around 7:25. We got some email bags, questions that will be coming in around 7:30. If you want to be a part of the show, please do. By calling the number 404-603-8770. That is the number to reach us. Get some off your chest. Call in. Let us know what you're thinking about. The question of the day. What event are you looking forward to this All-Star weekend? So Facebook Live and everybody, tell us what event you're looking forward to the most. Slam dunk, the game, or the three-point contest?
That's this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on, basketball.
Man, that's an all-star game, man.
And let me go ahead and introduce you to the rest of the crew. As Tiffany is making her way in, the Jewel, we'll start off with my main man from Memphis, Tennessee.
Boy, I'm in the first chair.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
What's up, Atlanta? What's up, big homie? What's up, crew?
What up? The sports superhero.
There it is.
Everything good?
It is what it is.
There you go.
Yes, sir. This 7 o'clock thing. We're going to work it out, though, man.
We're going to work it out.
New and improved.
New and improved. Yeah. You already know. Our new time, 7-9, please.
So you still haven't gotten over the Super Bowl thing, huh?
Not really.
Yeah.
If they would have won, we wouldn't be over it either. So.
Yeah.
I'm double hurt. I'm still hurt over Alabama. So, I got a whole year.
Y'all commiserate together.
Yeah. We did this before we came in.
Yeah.
Okay. Like we do every week.
Did y'all pull one out for the homies or wasn't there?
Nah, I don't give a nothing. What's in my cup is in my cup.
There it is. And, of course, my main man, he's the Alabama rep, and he's Alabama's own, and he's won the last 4 out of 8 championships. It's D-Will, the coach.
What's happening then? What up,
Weezy.
Crew?
Z.
What up?
Man, y'all got it, man. G Money behind the glass doing his thizzing. And if all y'all that don't know, my intro music is the Alabama fight song. Get familiar.
Get familiar.
Yes, sir. Like Tiff.
Get familiar. You already know. And G Money's behind the glass. What up, G?
G Money.
Yo.
G Money, you're going to have to get a drop off of New Jack City. For your intro, bro. You gotta get one.
Yeah, you need something. My brother's keep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's it.
I'll work on that.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Absolutely. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the hottest sports show on radio. Great show tonight, man. It's We're going to talk a lot of NBA. Got some rumors that are coming out. Again, we don't start the rumors. We just talk about them once they out. And we definitely go talk about some rumors in the NBA as the trade deadline is next Thursday, February the 23rd. The trade deadline for the NBA is going and it's coming. So
that's interesting because that means like the All-Star week break is 1 week now. So basically they have a day after people start playing again.
Yep.
So probably some deals will go down this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
check to see who has some DNPs and that'll DNPs did not
play.
And some lockers gonna be clean now.
Yeah. Whoop.
You know it. All right, again, the Hot Five got some sports update, the water cooler report, the email bags coming up. Second hour of the show, we just go straight, just talk. And of course, we got that famous SRT fun bag coming up at about 8:45. So, G, let's go ahead and jump into that Hot Five at 8.
It's time for the SRT Hot Five, the hottest five stories of the week.
The Hot Five at 8 is sponsored by Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, run over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Go to BigEasyGrill.com. The best shrimp in town, and it's verified. Trust me when I tell you. All right, Hancock, you up first again.
Let's do it.
Question number one. It was announced that Love will be out 6 weeks. What does that do or not do to the Cavaliers?
First of all, I guess we need to see if LeBron going to say something with Barkley come back at him. I guess his usage rate will go up even more right now. So, I mean, they're already stretched. I watched them last night, and they're stretched because they're missing not only Love now. You know, they've been missing a sharpshooter. I can't even think of his name. J.R. Smith. So they've been a little thin anyway. Just got Shumpert back, which helped a little bit. But, you know, his outside stroke, although it has gotten better, still is not where it needs to be for them to be that, you know, that's to stretch and spread the floor. So they're going to miss Love in that respect. But and Channing Frye does at least come in and provide that, because last night I saw him knock down shot after shot, and he provides that, you know, some of what Love can do. He doesn't rebound and get the outlet pass and those things. But, you know, as I was saying to you, and I'll be quick on this, you know, when he was talking about adding a player, and this obviously was before Love got hurt, was talking about where he needed another player. And I told you, you know, we talked before that what I thought is that if Kyrie would just not shoot, let's say, 4 to 5 times less a game,
okay,
and become more of a playmaker, that's your extra ball handler right there.
Answer to your question.
So, you know, just get other people involved. And if he would just back off the scoring mentality just a tad, they wouldn't have to worry about adding that other piece.
But when you think that's a Tyronn Lue deal?
Well, I mean, Lue has to put that in, but Kyrie has to be willing, the guy to say, okay, this is what I see. Yeah, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Because we know he's capable. Mm-hmm. He just has to do it.
Yeah.
And I think he could fill that role. He just has to do a little more balance of it, you know. And I think they would be all right with that, especially with adding Kyle Korver. And if they did get Love back, look at the space you got now and the spreading of the floor and how he can create. Let's say even if they run the high screen and roll with Thompson and he comes off, he has the lob to Thompson with Thompson diving. He has the elbow. He can just come off and shoot the ball. Or when the defense collapses, he has LeBron or he has Love and Kyle Korver in the corners and the wings.
Right.
So all he has to do is just be a little bit more of a playmaker.
Do they still have – I know they picked up Derek Williams.
Yes.
Do they still have him, or do you think he'll stick for the rest of the season?
He's on a 10-day.
He's playing a lot right now.
Yeah,
he got, so it just depends.
He had 16 last night.
Yeah, it depends on if he continues to give them this energy.
Well, if
and they have not. A well, – they and they created another roster spot anyway by letting Chris Birdman.
Yeah.
Yeah, they let him, they sold him out for money, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
So.
Chris Anderson. Yeah. Question number two,
Big H.O. With baseball season coming up, another hometown boy is coming home to the Braves. Traded for Brandon Phillips. What are your thoughts?
Dwight Howard has come home. Brandon Phillips has come home. And I guess the narrative would be, in a football sense, bring on home Eric Bear. But let me just jump into
the question at hand.
Yeah, the question at hand. I just had to throw that in. But the question at hand is Brandon Phillips making $14 million this year, and the Braves only will be responsible for $1 million. After Sean Rodriguez got hurt, who they signed this offseason for 2 years, they had to go out and get a second baseman. And Brandon Phillips is a three-time All-Star, batted .291 last year, lost a little pop in the bat. He only had 11 home runs, but defensively up the middle to kind of mentor Dansby Swanson and Ozzie Albies. I think this is a can't-miss pickup. You just couldn't miss. So I think Brandon Phillips will probably go into the 2 spot or the 6 spot, probably more of the 6 spot, because I think he's more of a run producer than he is a number 2 hitter. So I think it's a great pickup for the Braves. I can't wait till the season starts so we can actually see what's going on with the Braves. And I actually got the Braves young kids as a contender this year, and I think Brandon Phillips will have a very lot to do with that. Alright, question number 3, D. Will. Alright, come on, let's give us the insight on the new OC, or who's claiming to be or wanting to be the new OC for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
All right, well, from the looks of it right now, it looks to be a two-man race.
Okay.
And the two-man race is none of the names I named earlier. All right? So that's how time changes, and it changes fast, especially in the world of college football. But right now, the two main names that we're hearing are the New England Patriots, assistant coach, and he's currently the tight ends coach, Brian DeBall.
Yep.
Okay? The interesting thing about Brian DeBall, he was actually the graduate assistant under Nick Saban at Michigan State. So they have a rapport. They have a relationship. And he's had stops with the Browns and the Chiefs and with the Dolphins before landing in New England. So he's had some. He's been around the league. He's been in the game for a while. And actually, he does have a relationship with Nick Saban. So he may be able to take some of those chewings. I'm going to leave the first word out. Some of those chewings that Lane Kiffin had to endure.
AZZ.
Yeah, exactly. And another name out there is Oklahoma State offensive coordinator Mike Yurich. Okay. Another interesting thing about Mike Yurich, he actually turned down the OC job at Auburn. Okay. But rumors are
that he's an Alabama fan already.
So, but I would say so. But the rumors are that he's not looking to leave Stillwater. If he does leave, it was a great job by Nick Saban to get him out of there, because all reports point to him wanting to stay at Oklahoma State. But like I say, with his relationship with Nick Saban, being a graduate assistant under him at Michigan State, it's a good chance he can get that job. But with all reports are leading towards Brian DeBall being the next offensive coordinator at Alabama.
Who do you like?
I'm going to tell you.
Out of the two.
I would take DeBall because of the pedigree. He's coming off of a Super Bowl. He's coming off a Super Bowl, so he has the winning mentality, all right? And the thing is, he runs the spread offense. Both of these guys, we know what Oklahoma State does on offense. They're just fun and gun, throw it all over the field. So you can tell that Alabama of old, like I said last week, is dead. The old Alabama that you're used to is dead and gone. Cremated, urine, dirt, whatever you want to do to them, it's over with. So get ready to see Lane Kiffin's offense on crack.
Okay. I guess Jalen Hurts keeps his job then.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to tell you, it's two interesting schools right now to me, and both of them are at the quarterback position. University of Georgia and also the University of Alabama. Both had starting freshman quarterbacks last year, and both played very well. All right. Jacob Eason had a very, very good year. But if you hear Kirby Smart talk on Radio Row last week during the Super Bowl, it's a competition with the kid Brom coming in.
Yeah.
All right. And the same thing is going on at Alabama with Jalen Hurts having such a great year last year. And now you're bringing in Tua out of Hawaii, and it looks like it's going to be another competition. So it's going to be interesting to see spring ball and fall ball and leading into the fall at Alabama and Georgia at the quarterback position.
And we will keep you updated on those subjects. Shout out to Facebook Live. I see James. Craig Valentino, what's up, bro? James, of course, always checking in. James Willis. And guess who's in the building?
The Jewel of Sports is in the building.
Please.
What up, crew?
What up, Jewel?
What's happening there?
Good to have you in the building. Happening.
It's good to be here.
All right, I got a question for you. We talked earlier in the season about UConn women. And we also warned everybody that they would have a tough game against South Carolina that just happened the other night. UConn wins 100 straight games.
Yeah.
They're 100-0.
Basically.
Define what that really means to you.
Well, I mean, they're the first team in NCAA basketball history to do that. So that means a lot. It really does. And for the fact that it was a lot of questions up in the air about them before this season started, even if they were even going to get to that.
Right.
And it was a lot of hype on South Carolina about how good they were going to be. And UConn won by 11 points. So it's like, who is really giving them any competition right now? The way they playing ball, they in Gino Auriemma's system, they have the highest confidence. And they going in these games basically knowing they about to beat up on somebody and win. They've won 98 out of those 100 games by double digits. I'm like, so come on, man.
40 by 40 plus.
That part right there.
Almost half.
That part. Like, so it's like, yo, like, they're the best team to touch women's basketball. Like, seriously. I want to see them. I want to see the UConn women's basketball team play all the teams in the WNBA and see them beat them, too.
Wow.
Because I actually think that could probably happen.
Wow.
I agree.
Now, this is no shade or no disrespect. But Pat Summitt got to be rolling around in her grave.
Man.
R.I.P. Pat Summitt.
Like, for real. Man, that's sickening to her.
I mean, because there was that two-headed monster in college basketball.
Since she's been gone, it's been no competition.
Tennessee even fell out the top 25.
Yeah.
Like, at one point when she was gone. So it's just like, I mean, Tennessee totally fell off. Like, Pat Summitt had a system like Gino Auriemma. And once that coach that can really bring that system and to make those girls really play basketball, I mean, it's no contest.
No contest. All right, question number five, last question of the night for the Hot Five. G-Money, thoughts on T.O. not making it again in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's laughable, and then it's not laughable at the same time. Some other players have gotten in over him that he should have gotten in before them. If you're looking at numbers, you know, with these Hall of Fames, it's supposed to be about what the guy did on the field. But just like with baseball, it's, you know, what the guy did off the field, his attitude with the media, his relationship. And it's happening with T.O. He's suffering from that. Like, was there a receiver that got in this year over him? I'm trying to remember. But
yeah, Isaac Bruce.
Yeah,
sure
Bruce.
Isaac Bruce. Should he have gotten in over T.O.? I mean,
that's not even close.
He should have gotten in, yes. If you look at Isaac Bruce, his career by itself, sure, he should have gotten in. But before T.O., I mean, he's second all-time in yards. Top eight in receptions, I believe. He's one of 14 players to have 1,000. Like, no one thought of having 1,000 receptions. And yeah, he didn't get along with his quarterback most of the time. He ran them out of town, or he got himself run out of town several times. But that doesn't take away to what he actually did on the field. He played a Super Bowl with a broken leg.
And clowned. He wasn't a body.
Philly wouldn't have been in that game if he didn't play at all, even though they lost, but still, they would have lost by 30 instead of 3. But it's disappointing. I think he gets in next year because you're going to look at him and Randy Moss, and if Moss gets in and Owens doesn't, then it's going to be an even bigger problem than it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he said at this point, he's just like, yeah.
Because his career in numbers screams first ballot Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Like, and here's my thing. Baseball and football Hall of Fame are the biggest jokes in sports history. They have no credibility, in my opinion, because you're taking a bunch of individuals with feelings who've never played the game, only covered it, and they're deciding who gets it. They're deciding who's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
When you got a Hall of Fame of players who are actually Hall of Famers who actually did it, not voting.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to vote. So my point is, if the writers are voting and they make the decision, if I don't give you an interview, you don't like me anymore. Yeah. So when it comes time for you to go in the Hall of Fame, he didn't give me that exclusive interview. I'm not voting for him.
Yeah.
T.O. played in the wrong era. He played in the era when all this social media started to hype up.
That's true.
Think about it. You know, we talk about what would Jordan be. Yeah. We talk about that a lot. You know, if all of his dirt would have been aired.
Yeah.
You know, he punched Steve Kerr in the face at practice.
He did.
But if you ask the average basketball person about it, they don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. He was a saint.
All you know is, you know, Teflon. Nothing fell out, you know.
He also had reporters that protected him, too.
That's what I mean. Uh-huh. So that social media, everybody's a reporter now.
Oh, yes.
You see what I'm saying?
These
everybody.
Exactly. Great point. Great.
And that's the biggest thing that hurt T.O. is that his off-the-field stuff was too accessible.
It was.
They say Jordan Russell Simmons. Say Jordan and Russell Simmons got the best hush money can buy.
Yeah.
That's a good point, though. Yeah.
Think about it.
It's true.
Yeah, we know Russ didn't do some.
Hey, Russ used to be best friends
with
Donald Trump.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So, all right, but that'll do it for the Hot 5 at 8, sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, run over to our friends at Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Go to BigEasyGrill.com, the best rib in town, and it's verified. We go get to a quick sports update. When we come back, we go jump right into that water cooler report in the email bag. So keep it locked. The crew is in the building. Z Money behind the glass. Sports Roundtable. New time, 7 to 9. Worldwide Radio Network. Keep it locked.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your sports update on the Sports Roundtable Show with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd. Some Olympic news for you. Bob Costas is passing his Olympic primetime coverage torch to Mike Tirico. Costas has been the primetime host of 11 Olympic Games since 1992, and Tirico will take over for him during the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea. Costas will still be working for NBC, so he'll still have a job, of course, but congrats to Mike Tirico for getting that torch passed to him, especially since he's only been hired at NBC for a year.
Mm.
In other news, congrats to Derek Jeter. Him and his wife are expecting their first child. It will be a little girl. His wife actually went to the Players Tribune to make the announcement. I thought that only, like, actually players could really write on there, but she did her thing. So congrats to them.
He owns it.
Right, but I just didn't know that, like, he was letting his wife really just do that.
Ain't nothing I got Miss Superhero can't do.
There you
know what I'm
saying?
Preach. You say what you want, but
it is what it is.
All that's gone.
There you go.
Holly Holm was the first woman in the UFC to defeat Ronda Rousey in 2015. Since that fight, Holly Holm has lost her last three fights, with her latest loss coming this past weekend against a Dutch woman named Germaine de Rondamy. And she ended up getting crowned the UFC's first female featherweight champion in that fight. People are saying Holly Holm may need to step away from the UFC for a while. But also, she's actually appealing this loss because they felt that De Rondamy was punching after the bell at the end of two rounds that did a lot of damage to Holm. So she's appealing this loss. When UFC fighters appeal losses, they really don't get it overturned after the fact. So good luck to her on that one. The San Antonio Spurs have clinched their 20th consecutive winning season, and that is officially an NBA record. And the New England Patriots have filed to trademark a phrase they will use to promote the 2017 season called Blitz for Six. They also filed to trademark Bill Belichick's phrase, no day off, no days off. And he was chanting that at the parade last week, so they wanted to file to trademark that. And the week before the big game, they filed a trademark for Ignore the Noise, and they have already trademarked Do Your Job and We Are All Patriots.
And they need another trademark, Belichick.
And that's a wrap on your sports report with the Jewel of Sports. You can catch the Sports Roundtable show every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 on AM 1100 WRN.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network. Live music, drink specials, and lots of hot boiled crawfish. Where can we find such great things? At the Big Easy Grill's annual Mardi Gras Party and Crawfish Boil, Saturday, February 25th at 1 p.m. and Tuesday, February 28th at 11 a.m. That's the Big Easy Grill at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. So bring your beads, your friends, your taste buds, and laissez les bon temps rouler. The Big Easy Grill is a proud sponsor of Sports Roundtable.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Live on the Worldwide Radio Network, Sports Roundtable.
Sports Roundtable back. H.O., the Jewel of Sports, Sports Superhero, D. Will in the building, and G. Munn, of course, behind the glass. Thanks for tuning in. Give us a call, 404-603-8770. If you want to tell us what's going on with you, you want to ask us anything, question of the day, which event for the All-Star Game are you looking forward to the most? They actually got a Dunkathon coming on tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
I mean.
Well, all right then.
They're going to go through all the
every dunk
years,
contest that ever happened?
Pretty much, I guess.
That's how much it's starting at 10
they
in the
really trying to make this a weak thing, huh?
What do you think about Derrick Jones Jr. being in the dunk contest, MBDL?
Can't wait to see him.
I've seen some of his stuff. It's good, and that means the NBA was actually kind of reaching.
No doubt.
That's what I was going to say. Like, they really had to be reaching for that
one. LaVine said no. He got hurt after that, but he said no first.
Right.
And they got Aaron Gordon, who almost didn't do it as well, so. They had to get somebody.
He felt robbed from last year. That's probably why he was in his feelings still. That's probably why he almost didn't want to do it.
Hey, with Derrick Jones, he's not going to win this year.
There was one year with remember James White?
Oh, yeah, Flight.
He got added to the Knicks so he could be in the dunk contest. Yep. Like he was playing in Russia or Italy or something.
He jumped higher in high school.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was the first person I ever saw take off from the free throw line with two hands.
Him and what's the guy?
David Lee.
David Lee. They put on a show.
Yeah, the McDonald's game.
Yeah, Lee won it, though.
Yeah, when he did the shirt taking off.
Yeah.
Funny how time flies.
David Lee was a high flyer back then.
He was. He was. Into that back injury in the league,
man,
he could get up.
Yeah, he was. Him and Rex Chapman was some jumping boys.
Yeah. All right, with that being said, we're going to jump into this break room. We're going to see what's going on in the Water Cooler Report.
I don't know about you, but I'm a bit parched. Let's see what they're talking about at the Water Cooler.
Welcome to the Water Cooler Report with the Jewel of Sports. This Water Cooler Report is sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. If you are into cigars and want a smooth, easy, and tasteful stick, check out Big Boy Cigars on Facebook and like the page. And you can also holler at the president, H.O., sit right next to me each week for more info. Think big, drink big, smoke big. Big Boy Cigars. All right, we got a couple of stories that we talk about at the Water Cooler Report. The NBA last week sent a memo to all teams regarding rules prohibiting the mocking and ridiculing of opponents or game officials by teams on social media. Because if you hadn't noticed, they get into little Twitter beefs and stuff. So the memo stated that some recent social media postings on official team accounts had crossed the line between appropriate and inappropriate and cited concern that such conduct can result in basically fights between players, and that could cause further reputational damage and subject players to discipline by the league. So the memo cited three specific examples of material that would be inappropriate for posts on official team accounts. They said you can't disparage or belittle or embarrass individual opponent or game official. You can't mimic or impersonate an opponent or game official in a negative manner. And you can't criticize officiating or the NBA officiating program. The final straw for the league to do this was a few weeks ago when the Memphis Grizzlies were playing the Portland Trail Blazers and Chandler Parsons airballed a three. The people that handled the Blazers' Twitter account posted a clip of that with a caption that said, "To be fair, the NBA three-point line is really, really far away from the basket." So when Parsons saw it, he took a jab back at them on his Twitter, telling the Blazers, "Good luck in the lottery show this year." CJ McCollum saw that and got involved, and he tweeted, "We hit the lottery by not signing you." Ooh. Then Parsons clapped back and said, "Stop it. Technically, I hit the lottery." So they got real snippy. So it's kind of funny when grown men get together and Twitter beef, but now it's kind of turned into like a love fest to where they tweet each other like, "Oh, well, maybe you'll come back in the second half." Like the Hawks were playing the Kings and they were going back and forth on Twitter. The Kings were like, "Good job on getting the lead. Maybe we have a chance to come back." And the Hawks were like, "Yeah, friendship. Yeah, we're going to come back. Let's make this a good game." Like it's getting ridiculous. Yeah, it's that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like it's getting like really stupid because they're doing that now.
So you can't mock, you can't troll.
Nope.
You can't.
How you gonna tell me what to do on my social media? You know, I understand I represent the league, but if I'm falling short of racial, sexual,
political
statements on there, if it's about basketball, I should be able to say whatever I want. If I think Chandler Parsons is trash, I should be able to go on Twitter and say, "I think Chandler Parsons is trash."
I totally agree.
Like, I can understand if we taking it outside of what they kept. Everything you just reported was basketball.
I thought it was just the team pages they couldn't do it. On their own?
They don't even want them doing it on their own pages. They gonna want to try to find them and stuff.
Oh, come
if they
on.
Do
that's
that.
Bogus.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah,
that's
they don't even want them. Yeah, they don't want them going back and forth with each
Everybody
other.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Preach.
Man, that's so terrible. Though. They need to stop that. Like, it's basketball. Like, talk mess.
Yes.
Let them go in. Like, we don't want to see them hugging and holding hands. No, let them go to war.
And let me tell you, real quick, quick story. I heard someone, Kevin McHale, was on NBA TV last night, and he told a story about Larry Bird playing against Anthony Mason in Anthony Mason's first game. So when they were going on the court, he came on. He was like, Kevin McHale's like, "Yo, Larry, look at this guy. Look at these muscles." Say, Larry said, "All the muscles ain't going to help you once this game start." And every time Larry Bird scored on him, he yelled out, "Muscles."
Wow.
Yeah. That's basketball.
It is. Yo,
that was
good.
Bird, man. That was Bird. Bird talked trash anyway.
Anyway.
He felt disrespected if a white person guarded him.
Yes, he did.
Oh,
he
wow.
said that.
Yeah, he said, "What did you do to your coach to have him come?" To make you come out here and play me. That's the type
That's
of
classy.
Trash that Bird talks.
I love it.
That's classic. There's
so many like Larry Bird stories.
Yeah.
Even with the All-Star game coming up, there's the famous one where he walked into the 3-point shootout.
Yep.
Walked to the locker, was like, "All right, who's shooting for second?"
Shoot for second. That's it. Yes, sir.
And did y'all know Larry Bird played a whole game left-handed at the end of a road trip?
Yes.
And scored 30 points and shot every shot left-handed?
Cold-blooded.
Oh, but see, that was the thing, man. I mean, they all
talk
used
trash.
To. You remember Magic dunked on somebody. It was a Portland game. And he dunked on a guard down the floor or whatever. And somebody in the stands yelled out, "Oh, you dunked on a little guy. Hey, you can't do that on nobody big or whatever." So he came down and dunked on whatever. So I think Duckworth.
Yeah.
Duckworth was huge.
Yeah.
And he turned and looked at him and said, "Was he big enough?" See, that's the type of stuff. That's basketball.
That's basketball, yo.
Yeah. Let him talk.
All right, Jewel, let's go.
All right, the other story we're talking about in the Water Cooler Report, Gatorade is set to become the first entitlement partner of a U.S. pro league. The NBA D League, will, at the start of the 2017-2018 season, will be known as the G League because of the multi-year partnership with Gatorade. This is the first time a U.S. professional sports league has been named an entitlement partner. The D-League and Gatorade have been in business together since 1986, and now Gatorade scientists will partner with G-League on player nutrition and training programs. So they're going to be basically working with all the players in the league to help them eat right and all that stuff. 20 of the 25 D-League teams are owned by NBA teams. From the newly signed collective bargaining agreement, each NBA team will have the ability to carry two two-way players starting next season, increasing the roster size to 17. D-League players are getting caught up to the NBA right now at an all-time high. And the Santa Cruz Warriors just set a new single-game attendance record for the D-League and has 17,497 fans in attendance. Y'all D-League fans?
I am, of course, but that's just because I'm a junkie. But,
I'm not a D-League fan because I never know when it's on. But I had a question. Like, have you seen the commercial when they were announcing that it was going to be called the G-League? Mm-hmm. It had Damian Wilkins.
Yeah, I did see that.
And I was just wondering, like, he's still trying to make it after all these years. Like he's been like in and out of. He may have been playing for like 10 years. He's may have been playing in the D League for like 8 of them.
Yep, true facts.
I know that's Gerald's son, right?
Gerald. Yeah, that's Gerald.
Okay, no disrespect to Gerald, but like. Like he needs to be like coaching in the D League now. Like, just stop trying to play.
Nate Robinson just signed in the D League, trying to get back into the NBA. Yeah. So
I'm happy for him because he should be in the NBA.
He really should.
I think he like, still what? Has it.
But like,
he
why
to play football? He wanted to play football.
He need boy, stop! Like, really, you was really already in the NBA. Like, stop trying to do a crossover.
Come on, man!
Like, he messing himself up doing that.
Yep.
I guess this. Makes you want to see what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, the D-League. I guess next they're going to be putting them on TV.
Well, they sometimes show them on NBA Network. TV. Yeah, I watch a couple of
other TV.
Oh, other networks.
Oh, yeah. To my major network stations? I doubt it.
Like, do they ever put a D-League game on ESPN?
Never.
Okay.
That's I thought they had like,
in summertime.
Yeah, maybe like once or twice. Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly NBA TV.
Yeah, mostly NBA TV.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. But you know what? That's a wrap on your Water Cooler Report with the Jewel of Sports. This Water Cooler Report is sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. If you are into cigars and want a smooth, easy, and tasteful stick, check out Big Boy Cigars on Facebook and like the page. You can also holler at the President H.O. sitting right next to me each week for more info. Think big, drink big, smoke big. Big Boy Cigars.
Big Boy Cigars, you already know. D-League, so the Gatorade is taking over.
Yeah.
That means
they gonna have a new little
pass
logo.
Out Gatorade when all the fans come in.
They should, since they want to be
works.
Talking about working on people's nutrition and all that. Go ahead, give out them free drinks for Gatorade.
What I'm wondering is how this is gonna tie in with the one and done. Maybe they should just go straight to the skip college for those who don't want to go. And just go develop yourself there.
That's a good idea.
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
You can go from high school to the D League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can be
idea.
Draft still, and then be eligible for the NBA draft the next year.
Can you?
You can. A couple of players have done it.
You just had to be 1 year out of high school.
Yeah, that's what I said. You can't go straight from high school to the D League. You
yes,
can go.
You can.
You can.
You can. But not a player. Not a lot of players do it because they feel like it's a lot more exposure by playing in college, and it'll be easier to get playing time. By playing in Europe, and even though that's actually not that true,
right?
But yeah, I mean, you can go straight from high school to the D League.
So why wouldn't you let them go straight from high school to the league?
You know why?
Because maybe it seems like it's too much of a level jump to go from high school to the D League straight to the NBA,
oh,
even though players did it for a long time.
Yeah, it's just too much, man. It's it's all about the moolah.
Yeah, it's too many. The NBA got their hands on too many things at the same time.
Now they trying to censor Twitter pages.
Yeah, exactly. They doing too much.
Next, they gonna be telling the radio station what we can't say,
and that'll never happen.
And that's not gonna go well. All right, man, it's time to jump into some email bags.
You've got mail. All
right, email bag. The first question: are you satisfied with the inductees of the Hall of Fame NFL. Morton Anderson, Terrell Owens, Kenny Easley, Jerry Jones, Jason Taylor, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Kurt Warner. So I guess Isaac didn't get in.
Do you mean Terrell Davis?
Davis, yeah. I think he said Owens.
Oh, Terrell. I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be. Supposed,
yeah. He should have been on there.
Yeah, Terrell Davis. But I guess Isaac Bruce didn't get in.
He didn't?
Nah, this
so no year. Receiver made it? So then two making it next year when Randy Moss and T.O. go then.
Yeah.
Since they didn't put not one in this year.
And the only reason Randy Moss will get in next year on the first ballot is because he's now on TV.
Exactly.
Period.
And but with them putting him in, they're going to have to put T.O. in, though. Like, come, let's look at the numbers, man. And then no receiver made it this year. They got to put two in next year.
Exactly. Hancock, you satisfied with the seven that they chose? I mean, I know you cool with Jerry Jones, but Kenny Easley
was a baller when he was playing now, but there's no but. He's a Hall of Fame, I believe.
Okay.
I'm just not satisfied that T.O. didn't get in. That's the problem I got with it. If any of these guys got in, including LaDainian,
right.
T.O. should have gone into the Hall of Fame last year.
Right.
First year. You know, so to me, it's a joke. Anybody they're putting in now, to me, you know, it's lost a lot. I've lost respect for it because it's an agenda now.
It is.
You know, it's people that are setting up. Oh, it's funny. Let's keep him out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, you cannot dispute his numbers.
No.
They were not inflated.
No.
They didn't come in garbage time.
Nope.
They didn't come when, you know, they were playing with 10 people on the field.
Right.
And let's even think about it. They didn't even come when this new era of passing that we're in right now.
Very true.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You're still running the football part of his career.
Yeah.
And he's second all time or right there in mostly every category that you can name.
Right, but can't get into the
whole and the thing about it is I could see if he was always on police blogs doing something like that.
Marvin Harrison.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
hey, old two gun.
Hey, I'm look, just saying, two look, guns.
You talking about two guns?
Two guns!
Man, y'all gonna get us in trouble, man. If this show is playing anywhere in Philadelphia, y'all gonna get us in trouble.
Oh, that's right. They are listening in Philly.
I am blaming y'all.
But still, T.O. should have gone in. So that's the only problem I got is that to me, the Hall of Fame now is a joke. It's not even real.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point of even doing this?
Look, if Lawrence Taylor's in there, all bets off.
Come on now.
Because we're talking about somebody who went to practice when he wanted to.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Came to the field high, as it's been, you know, talked about.
Yeah.
Nose candy.
Yeah, I mean.
Booger sugar.
Let's he said he partied all night and then came to work. So, I mean, it is what it is. So, you can't justify him being in and then hold something as minuscule as he's not a good teammate against somebody. That's bull.
Yeah.
Not a good teammate, but he was helping y'all win games.
Exactly.
All right, I got another question. I guess, D. Will, you can probably jump on this one. Is there a franchise player in college right now that can change the NBA team?
Franchise player that can change immediately. Are we speaking to the level of a LeBron James type? And I know nobody's going to be LeBron because he's arguably one of the greatest, but to make an impact like that, no. But to get on a team and actually help them, yeah, it's probably about 10, 12 of them, all right? And just about all of them freshmen. Like, all of them have the potential, if put in the right situation, to play very, very, very well in the NBA. Because if you look at...
Well, let's say Carl Anthony Towns type of impact.
Rookie of the year impact.
Right. Like, he basically came in and became the man.
The man on his team.
Right.
That depends on who's drafted where. That's okay. Kind of hard to answer without knowing who's going where, because I really believe Lonzo Ball can change the dynamic of a team because he's a true point guard. I believe De'Aaron Fox can change the dynamic of a team just because he's just that explosive. And I'm going to throw another name out there. Grayson Allen. I think he can get to an NBA team in a right situation and be a rich man's Kyle Korver.
All right. He can put it on the floor. He can shoot it. He can defend. He's athletic. With him in the right situation, he's an NBA. He's in the NBA rookie game as one of the top players and a potential rookie of the year if put in the right situation.
I hear you. I want to ask D Will a question. You mentioned Fox, and this goes off subject just a little bit, but I asked Harris the other day, should Calipari just turn him and Malik Monk loose and stop trying to hold that team and make them play so much as a unit and bring other people along? Just let these two kids go.
If he wants to win.
Right, that's what I'm seeing.
If he wants to win, he has to put the ball in De'Aaron Fox's hand the same way he put the ball in John Wall's hand. He didn't taper John Wall when he was there. True enough, he had Eric Bledsoe. When John Wall got off keel, he could put it in Bledsoe's hand and let Bledsoe run it. But in order for this particular Kentucky team to win, because they're not dynamic on the wing, they don't have a score that is just, besides Monk, who you can just put the ball in his hands on the wing and say, go get a bucket. And the same thing for De'Aaron Fox. But I still think Calipari's problem is, the reason he's tapering them, I think he's trying to feature Adebayo. All right.
That's what I'm saying.
And Adebayo, I'm not saying Adebayo's not that type of player who can be that kind of guy, but in today's college game, it's guard oriented. All right. It's hard to run it through the post, because I don't think Adebayo, okay, just to tie your question in the Big HO, I don't think Adebayo is a Carl Anthony Towns.
No, he's not.
Exactly. So why is he trying to run the offense through him is the reason they're struggling this year, because you could tell he got De'Aaron Fox right hand tied behind his back.
His numbers and everything are just dwindling.
Game by game.
And it's almost like he has a Ferrari and he's trying to run him like a Mustang.
Yep.
Let him go.
That was a great analogy.
You see what I'm saying? Let those two kids go.
Yeah.
And let them play, man. I just think they'd be better than just let Bam and they run the floor. Get all the wins. Let's go.
And, you know, what was Calipari known for when he had Derrick Rose in Memphis and John Wall and others in Kentucky? The dribble drive. He doesn't run the dribble drive anymore. He's running a Carl Anthony Towns style offense. He didn't even run the offense he's running now when he had DeMarcus Cousins. Mm-hmm. He still ran the dribble drive. And if you watch it, there is not a lot of creation coming from De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. It's all off of, let's throw it inside, let's run a couple screens. Because I like what's the white kid named? Derek Willis. I like him, but he get too many shots for me. You know, I don't know what it's like in the locker room. If we knew what it's like in the locker room, we might be able to answer this question a little better. But I agree with you, man. Roll the ball out there and say,
just
go play.
Let them two go.
Go play AAU.
Yeah, let those two go.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
All right. Next question. Two injuries, man, that just tore franchises apart. LaVine from Minnesota and Jabari Parker from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So the question is, which franchise is going to suffer the most of those injuries? We'll let the Jewel go first. Since you're from Chi-Town, and both of those are so cold, those from Cold State, Milwaukee is freezing, and Minnesota is even colder.
And Jabari from the Chi-Town.
The Bucks suffer more because they were more of a contender in the East than the Timberwolves are in the West. I think the Timberwolves, this would affect the Timberwolves in maybe like a couple years when they really get good. But Milwaukee, they in the playoffs, they give Chicago a run for their money every year. They give teams a run for their money. And Jabari Parker is such a big piece to that puzzle to help them win those games. Him going down, I really feel bad for him. This is second knee injury, and it's on the other knee.
Yeah.
I really feel bad for him.
It's the same knee.
Same knee.
And see, that makes it even worse, because it may really take away from his explosiveness that he has. I don't even think he may come back the same player. So I think it's going to hurt Milwaukee right now and in the future when he comes back trying to work himself back into game mode.
Yeah, and mentally, man.
Yeah.
That has to be a big blow for Jabari Parker mentally.
Absolutely.
For him to come in his rookie year, miss the whole season because of an ACL, played decent last year. You saw him getting back into shape. And this year, he was ascending.
He was.
I actually, if y'all go back and listen to the archive shows on HM3.com, you will hear me say Jabari Parker in 5 years is going to be an MVP candidate. And you could see it in his game. You know what he reminds me of? A more explosive Carmelo. Because they got the same, or a Paul Pierce type. Mm-hmm. He's in that Hall of Fame mode of those two. But
this is going to hurt him. Like you said, mentally. He didn't really come back. He's always going to think now that he's going to hurt that knee again.
Derrick
especially
Rose.
In the same. Right. Yeah. That's what I was like. I was hoping it wasn't in the same one. Yeah. Because
same high school.
Man.
Wore the same number in high school.
Oh, geez.
I agree with you guys. I think it's Milwaukee because I think LaVine still was like that third guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of ties into that question I was asking Harris a while back when he and I were talking. But, yeah, I think, like you said, Jabari was the second guy behind Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, may have been about ready to pop into
he was.
To that, you know his name now.
Fringe All-Star.
Right, he's there. He was coming. So, you know, I think with LaVine, you know, I was kind of circling LaVine as that third guy that some franchise was going to take. Mm-hmm. And he could be that. You know, like we never saw Harden coming like he is now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what, you know, Harris and I were talking. Who's that player? Right. CJ's in there. Who's that player now that somebody can identify and say, in a year, I can make him my franchise player?
Right. Jermaine O'Neal.
Right. He has all the tools. You know, like I said, to me, LaVine got some T-Mac type skills.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I see him. And I was like, if he... You know, he had already.
Yeah, exactly.
T-Mac was that same style. That's mm-hmm. that type. So just to see that, you know, I feel for the kid because I felt like, well, you know, they do so much with knee surgeries now.
Yeah.
You know, he could come back from it. So he's the guy that I think could be, you know, maybe a franchise type building player in the future. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think Jabari, that hurts Milwaukee more.
I think with LaVine, it's going to be. I think he'll be able to come back and be successful. It won't be in Minnesota, though.
Thanks, boy. You took the words out of my mouth.
That's exactly what I mean.
They drafted Chris Dunn, mm-hmm. which means they're going to get rid of Rubio.
Yep.
And I think they're going to trade LaVine because they haven't handed the point guard keys to LaVine yet.
LaVine's not a point.
Yeah, they moved him to the two, actually. They moved him to the two.
He can play some point, yeah. but yeah. they wanted to play the two. Yeah. That's why they drafted Dunn.
Right.
But Dunn can also play the two, and they also still have Tyus Jones. They have too many guards. But
always.
But I think LaVine, when he does come back, he'll then be on the trading block.
And the reason I agree with G-Money on that is because – but I'm going to take a different road. It's kind of hard to say, but I think the LaVine injury is a blessing in disguise for Minnesota. And the reason I say that, because with them trying to feature LaVine more, it's about to really turn the reins over to Andrew Wiggins.
Yo, he balling.
And he is balling. So now he doesn't have to share those shots with LaVine. And it's going to show Minnesota, okay, we got a star here. Do we really want to bring back that third option with Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins to mess up that chemistry? And he's going to be on the – he won't be back in Minnesota.
Just, with Wiggins, they just need to feed him some gunpowder or something.
Yeah, because he
needs a mentality to let – you know, I don't think when he gets on the floor all the time, he has a mentality that he's the best player.
No, he doesn't.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's like – you when you are a dog, you come on the floor like,
like
what Bird said. Okay, who finishes second?
Yeah. In the offseason, he had been training with Kobe.
Yep.
So he needs that more. to continue to train with Kobe.
Because that's the right one to be the gunpowder.
But he's same person. Kawhi. When he was earlier, mm-hmm. he was Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. Didn't step on the floor like the best player, but had all the skills in the world. Started working with Kobe, and now he is a killer.
He's a monster.
Great, great segue, because the next question is, Magic said on one of those network shows that he's thinking about bringing Kobe into the front office. Thoughts?
Kobe said that if the Lakers need him, he'll go. Like he said, he'll help him. He's willing to help him.
What can Kobe do?
When I first heard it, I was like, so is he going to have him more hands-on with the team?
Yeah.
But then I heard front office, and I'm like, well, I mean, can he identify talent? You see what I'm saying? I mean, because when you got front office guys, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to go and find guys that fit the style of play you want. You know, I'm a Kobe fan, but I'm a Kobe fan on the court. I'm a Nappy Hair Kobe fan. Mm-hmm. I'm that number eight.
You the Frode.
Yeah, I'm Nappy Kobe.
Yeah. Tell fade Kobe.
Can Kobe go find another Nappy Kobe? You see what I'm saying? That's what I don't know if he's that basketball mind for that.
I think he is.
I do too.
Actually. I really do because you got to understand Kobe's knowledge of the game is unparalleled with anybody else.
Well, like, he's a gym rat.
Exactly. He has always lived for basketball.
And that's why I say he will be hands-on with those players, cuz Magic not just going to be sitting in the front office. He going to be guiding inventory. And he said that Kobe has a connection with the players. And so he's really going to have them talking to them too.
The only problem I got is that we've seen stars before go into these, you know, type of situations. Isaiah Thomas can't get no more gym rat and great player than Isaiah.
Right.
But he wasn't worth a damn as a GM.
Well, the Lakers need to do something because they ain't doing nothing right now. So maybe if...
Oh, you're good.
So, oh, yeah. You can say damn.
As a GM, Isaiah Thomas, his only, like, success, he drafted Damon Stoudemire, and that's all that you got to say. It's just Damon Stoudemire.
Hey, now,
it's
Damon was him. He was good at for a stretch.
Yeah, he's that bagel.
Yeah, until he starts smoking. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you like this. If you think about the NBA, most top executives are ex-players. Look at Jerry West, the logo. He's one of the greatest executives of all time.
Yeah, I give West got, all the props, yeah.
You can go, well, Phil Jackson, he was one of the greatest coaches of all time, and he was an ex-player as a front office. But here's my thing.
And Larry Bird, too.
And I was going to go there next.
Bird was smart, though. Bird got out of the way in coaching.
But it's plenty more. We can go on and on. Yeah, we can go on and on and on. Joe Dumars. He won a championship. You can't take that.
He missed Carmelo Anthony.
Mistakes happen.
When he took Darko
He got the ship, so you can't be too mad because he did win that
Barry
year.
Barry Switzer got one, too.
You right. But I believe Kobe will be successful with the Lakers. I'm not saying in a player personnel role, I think he'll be great, where he's the one out there pregame, throwing the passes, taking Steph Curry through his routine.
That's what he'll be in there
I think he will be great at that. Now, to say he's a GM or associate GM or a president, I think he's too close removed from the game to take on a role that big. I think you really need to get away from the game, lose your player mentality, especially for somebody like him who was laser focused. Lose that player mentality, learn the ins and outs of the business of the NBA. Go study under somebody. But how can you do that? Throw the passes. Yeah. Show the moves. Do what you do in the summer with Kawhi and Wiggins, like we mentioned earlier. Go do that with the Lakers because they need more player development than they need anything else right now.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe, and they need to probably recruit more. But that's going to end our email bag session. We're going to go to a quick sports update. We're going to come back for the second hour of the show. We got some more stories to talk about. We're going to jump into some more NBA. We're talking about KD, Westbrook, the All-Star Game events, and we're going to actually grade the NBA rookies this past year. So, Sports Roundtable, the SRT crew in the building, keep it locked. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your sports update with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. Forbes has released its list of NBA's most valuable teams. Top five from 5-1, Celtics are worth $2.2 billion. Wow. The Bulls are fourth, and they're worth $2.5 billion. The Warriors come in third, they're worth $2.6 billion. The Lakers come in second, they're worth $3 billion. And the Knicks come in first, they are worth $3.3 billion. And we were talking about legends, basically, or NBA greats. Happy birthday to a Celtics legend. Bill Russell just turned 83 on February 12th. He's a 13-time NBA champion, 11 times as a player, 2 times as a coach. He's a 5-time NBA MVP and a 12-time NBA All-Star. On a sad note, rest in peace to Fab Melo, the former Syracuse player that was the 22nd overall pick in the 2012 NBA draft. He also played in the D-League. He didn't stay in the NBA very long. He actually died at the age of 26 in his native place of Brazil this past Saturday night. He was at his house, and the paramedics said that he was dead when authorities arrived on the scene with no signs of violence. They are presuming he had a heart attack in his sleep. Mm. So
he had heart problems in high school, though.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. So, yeah. So, yeah, rest in peace, Fat Melo. Draymond Green, he has to be probably the most unique player in the NBA right now. In the Warriors game against the Grizzlies last Friday night, he became the first player in NBA history to record a triple-double without a double-digit scoring game. He had 4 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, and a career-high 10 steals. He had 7 steals in the first half, which was one shy of tying the NBA record. He's the second player in NBA history with at least 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals in a game. Alvin Robertson did it first in 1986. And you know what? That's a wrap on your sports update with the Jewel of Sports. Catch the Sports Roundtable show every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 on AM 1100 WRN.
Sports Roundtable.
Boys to Men, a new edition.
Hey, if I want somebody overall, to sing my panties off, I'm going Boys to Men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hold on, stop. Did you get that? Did you get? She said, if I want somebody to sing my panties off. I hope you got that. That has to be a drop.
Only on 1100 AM.
You're tuned into WWE Lakeville. AM 1100.
Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's going on, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is G Money, and I just wanted to share a little bit of Black history with you. Now, with this being 2017, we're coming up on the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson playing his first major league game and breaking the color barrier in baseball. But there are two players who may carry the distinction of being the first Black Major League Baseball player. Now, one of those players is Moses Fleetwood Walker. He played for the Toledo Blue Stockings, a club in the American Association, for 42 games in 1884. He was a catcher, and along with his brother, Weldy Walker, who played with him on the team, they are known as the first Black players to play in the major leagues. Even before the Walker brothers, there is another player, William Edward White. He played for the Providence Grays of the National League, and he played in a grand total of one game. On June 21st, 1879, he replaced starting first baseman Joe Stark, who was injured earlier in the game. And White was a student at Brown University and played for the college team, but he came in to play for the professional team, the Providence Grays. He went 1-for-4, he scored a run, but he did not play another game for the Providence Grays again. There's really no evidence as to why it happened, but he did get credit for it happening. Another interesting thing about William Edward White is that he's the son of a plantation owner, Andrew Jackson White from Milner, Georgia, and a Black slave named Hannah. So he may not only have the distinction of being the first Black Major League Baseball player, he may be the only former slave to also be a former Major League Baseball player. This has been a Black History Moment on the Sports Roundtable.
Yo,
what up? What
we
up?
Must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right? That
and
right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and
what
Coach.
Up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk, yo.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes.
Brent Grimes.
Gonna kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stalling. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the king, fam.
Woo.
Been balling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams.
Oh.
SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen.
Woo.
Real talk, K9 know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. The SRT crew in the building. Thanks for tuning in at our new time, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on AM 1100, the Worldwide Radio Network. HO, the Jewel of Sports, Sports Superhero Hancock, D Will, the Coach, and of course, D Money behind the glass, dropping the beats. As we're up in here doing our thing each and every Wednesday night. The SRT question of the day, which event are you looking forward to the most this weekend for the All-Star game for the NBA? Please hit us up, 404-603-8770. Tell us what you think. Thanks for tuning in to the first hour of the show where we talked about Kobe may not be as... maybe he need to recruit and just train people. We also talked about how devastating LaVine injury and Jabari Parker has affected the team. Milwaukee may not even make the playoffs now.
That part.
Yeah.
I don't know if Minnesota was. They just in a tougher
conference. That Western Conference, man.
Yeah, they just in a tougher conference. So, Gina Buss got to fire her brother first.
She might make Magic do it.
Exactly.
I think he will.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it. What else did we talk about? We talked about, of course, Brandon Phillips coming home to Atlanta for the Atlanta Braves. And D. Will gave us his insight on who has the inside track on being Alabama's next OC. So thanks for tuning in. And if you want to catch any of the first hour or the second hour, if you have to go away, please catch our replay shows on hm3inc.com. Please go to the website, go to SRT Replay Shows, and you will catch all of our archive shows, even the famous archive shows that we've all done, even from the podcast days. So please check that out. All right, now it's time to get into our second hour in the Sports Roundtable, second hour roundtable discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable, Roundtable Discussion, sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new pre-owned or a used car, please contact Jay's at 770-496-0339. You mention Sports Roundtable or SRT, you get a 10% discount on your down payment. Go to jaysusedcars.com for inventory. All right, second hour of the show. Let's get to this disgusting thing first. Sandusky's son gets arrested. Sick.
Tell him why, Big H.O. Tell him why.
Sick. He joins his papa. He was adopted, right?
Yes, he was adopted. That's why I'm like, it ain't running in his blood. He just going off what he seen him do, probably.
How many charges was it? 13, 14 charges of molestation?
Of little girls. His daddy did little boys. So he did little girls.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah,
that's horrible, man. Now, they need to burn that, like, nothing.
Does this affect Penn State in any way?
No.
That's he had nothing to do with Penn State right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was I guess the association of it, and he actually worked for Penn State for a minute, but.
He ain't about to be working nowhere now.
Yeah.
He's going to be working in the kitchen.
That part.
Or the Jang Lang.
Or the laundromat.
Jang Lang. Jang Lang.
All right, KD and Westbrook, they went at it Saturday night. Literally, they went at
like,
it.
Like, for real. I ain't never even really see KD get mad, though. Like,
yeah.
He's funny to me.
So, Jewel, your thoughts on, they had the cupcakes out?
Yo, look, that first of all, that crowd was so hyped. Like, that was a championship game, and they was only down by, like, a point, and they was getting blown out the whole game. they were so amped up. Really, I mean, it's cute that they really thought that OKC had a chance to win the game. That was cute. But for how they trolled KD so hard.
Yes.
I mean, with they holding up cupcake signs, they chanting, cupcake, cupcake. Like, they were off the chain in it.
So, based on what you just reported, OKC can get fined for that.
they didn't tweet it though. They didn't tweet it.
Oh, so it's on social media.
Yeah, it's on social media. You can say whatever you want to in person.
Oh, okay, my bad. All right.
You just can't tweet it for the world to see.
Oh, okay, I see. This is crazy.
I would like to give OKC their props in effort because they were there emotionally. They just couldn't put the ball in the hoop to really be in the game. But their emotions were there. I mean, even. Dude that broke his arm hitting the bench jumped up like he was about to do something, and you broke your arm on the bench, so stop it.
They will.
How do I want to say this? They were amped.
Very much so.
And I'm going to tell you, the exchange between Katie and Russ going to the bench, that one moment was worth the whole watch of the game.
That's what everybody wanted to see.
And you never thought they would actually happen. No. You know, you never thought they would get into a shouting match going into a timeout, walking to opposite benches. Russ actually turned around and looked at him like, I'm talking to you.
But all KD was like, so what? So what? Like,
and I'm going to tell you, Kevin Durant is a different type of dude. And I don't want to call him a fake tough guy because I think he really does have dog in him. But
it'll never come out.
I'm saying when you compare it to Russell Westbrook, he looks...
He got punked.
He looked kind of cupcake-ish.
Yeah, he got punked,
But the best... I'm going to tell you, I commend Kevin Durant for one reason and one reason only. The way he took it.
Yeah.
All right? If y'all know, if you go to social media the day after the game, Kevin Durant mama tweeted a picture of her in the cupcake shirt. So...
Steph and Draymond had him on after the game.
So they took that cupcake thing and flipped it on them. And made it their own.
They sure did.
So that diminished the actual act of the crowd calling him a cupcake because I just put up 30 plus on y'all and we blew y'all out. I guess I'm a cupcake. You know, so I kind of side with Kevin Durant on this situation, but that moment of him and Russell going at it, headed to the bench. That was classic.
It was.
That was classic.
Hold on. Go ahead.
With the crowd taunting Durant, there was a sign. You know, you see the signs where they spell out something on one side, and then they have, like, words that start with each letter. So someone made a Durant sign, and it stood for deserter, unreliable, ring chaser, abandoner, nappy hair, traitor.
Oh, wow.
I was cool until the end.
Oh, wow.
I was cool until the end.
Well, you know, it's Oklahoma.
They could have said something besides nappy hair.
Said it was Oklahoma.
What it looked like to me was he got a better girlfriend.
Hey.
I mean, Durant, it is what it
and
is.
And the ex is bitter.
And the ex is bitter.
So bitter.
You know, it would have been okay if... It wouldn't have been bad if he would have gone to a woman that wasn't as pretty.
Hey, downgrade.
Downgrade. But he upgraded.
He sure did. Upgrade you.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
So she feeling that. She like, oh, no. All in her feelings.
Like, ooh, she fine.
Yeah, so that's the problem right there. See, if KD wasn't doing as well.
They wouldn't have done the same.
Exactly.
And he would have got a welcome back video and everything.
Yeah, it would have been no problem. See? But that's the problem. He upgraded. And, you know, I had to check myself because, you know, I was one of them, no, you don't do it like that. I was all against LeBron. LeBron proved me wrong. Mm-hmm. You do it the way you want to do.
Amen.
You know, our parents and whatever and grandparents, they'll tell you, I walked to school uphill both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
We got dropped off at school.
Hey, they ain't feel that. They
you
ain't feel what I'm saying?
Say
that
again. They walked to school and back home uphill both ways. So, you know that was tough. So, what I'm saying to you is, in everything else, it's okay to make your life better.
Yeah.
But in basketball, we want you to be a martyr and do it the tough way.
Yep.
And go against everybody and win. And that makes the championships better. Hell no.
Thank you, Hancock.
It don't work like that. It's a new sheriff in town.
New sheriff in town.
And that's, you want to better yourself in every way. Mm-hmm. And KD bettered himself.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. LeBron bettered himself. All these people that can sit around and talk about what they wouldn't do and how they wouldn't do it, whatever. Yeah, and people talk about, boy, if I just didn't want all that money. If I hit the lottery, I'm going to be happy.
Yes.
All these people, I don't need that much money. Well, let me get yours.
Let me get your hat.
So all this, that's just hate and hurt.
Yeah,
is what's going on in Oklahoma City.
Man, they real hurt. Everybody it's was barking at him. Like, they all was trying to say something to him on that team. Like, they hot. Yeah. They are so hot at that. But,
and Russ, I understand Russ because Russ feels like we had a chance for a championship together. Now I'm way back with what I got.
Yeah.
But Russ has to take a look in the mirror on
that. He does. And I agree with that. But he can't see that right now because he came within one quarter
of going to the finals.
For a second time.
Exactly. Yep. And maybe even beating LeBron them if they got there. You see what I'm saying? So he like, KD, it's going to be a long time before. They'll probably be going in the rocking chairs and whatever. Like, you remember, Shaq and Kobe were upset with each other. And now they cool.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you would have never seen. You never would have thought that.
They're not going to be cool.
I mean, time heals.
I think it does too, because Russell actually made that comment. They're still my brothers, even if I don't talk to them every day.
Right.
He made that comment prior to the game. So he's telling you, yeah, I don't agree with what Kevin did, and I'm not cool with it, but we got 7 years together. We done been through the trenches together. And I don't understand how, like you referred to other people, the regulars, saying he punked out going there. Okay, let me tell you something. If I'm on a job, right?
Right.
Okay, and I've been stuck in my job for 7 years, and I just ain't progressing, okay? And another company tells me, hey, come over here. I'm going to give you the same money, but next year, I'm going to boost you up. And guess what? You're going to go from regular to manager. You're going to say, nah, man, I gave them 7 years, man. I'm going to stay here and fight it out.
No.
You sound like a fool. You're gone. Exactly. So how can you blame Kevin Durant for doing the same thing?
I think it's interesting that, like, I don't know if it's the media or just because we looked at players like, oh, everyone's being all buddy buddy now, and now we see this situation where they're not so buddy buddy,
and we're mad,
and people are mad about it. Exactly. Like, if you look at I saw a documentary about Magic and Bird. They were friends, but when they played each other on the court, they were trying to kill each other. So it's kind of, I think it's more like that now, to where maybe they're not so much friends off the court, and they will become closer again later, like after they retire possibly. But right now, they are on opposite teams. And when they get on the court, they're trying to kill each other. So I think it should be a rivalry. I mean, it's not going to be because OKC's not that good,
right?
But it can be a rivalry between them, and just have it be, I would like it to be just about basketball instead of this friendship that we want them to have, but then we complain about it with somebody else.
I just wish we had a camera in the locker room and that All-Star practice and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Just to watch the interaction between them this week.
In the game, Steve Kerr wants to play all four of his guys. It's going to be a moment where it's his four guys and Westbrook.
Said that.
He might not come across the head
court. I don't know. It was about five shows ago, and I said that. Hancock was like, I don't know if he's going to do that. Because they might fight on the court.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I say I don't really see them being friends, like, until they probably old men in rocket chairs, because just like what Hancock said, like, they were a court away from going to the finals. And then for Kevin to leave like that, and Russell basically felt like that. He kind of felt betrayed. And the attitude that Russell Westbrook has when he feels some type of way, he's got a nasty attitude.
He's Kobe.
So don't let KD get a ring and Russell Westbrook never gets one. He going to hate that man guts.
It. Yeah, it's going to be trouble.
Come on.
It's going to be a long time coming.
For real.
And I agree with you, because I don't think Russell is upset if he doesn't go to Golden State.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying he can go to Houston.
Right.
And Houston can win the championship. Yeah. And I don't think he's that hurt.
No.
And D-Will,
but
you
went to the team that just beat us.
Your point, he went to the antithesis of what he and Durant do, is one-on-one hero ball.
Yep.
He went to an organization where they share the ball and all this. And all he heard was that he shot too much, that he took the ball out of KD's hand.
Yep.
And, you know, KD saying, I like this, the way they play here. Mm-hmm. So it's another arrow.
Yep. It's a jab.
It's another, you know, jab. Like you said, another stone at him. Like, so I'm the reason that you left me.
Or we didn't win.
And we didn't win.
Yeah. And that's what I was kind of saying. I think that is the case. Because that's why I say Russell needs to take a look in the mirror on this situation. Mm-hmm. Because if he does what we're saying Kyrie needs to do, just tail it back a little bit, they have a championship.
Now, speaking of OKC, let's go to another story. But before we end this one, to the people that I always say what they wouldn't do and if this and this, my uncle told me a long time ago, people will always say what they wouldn't do when they don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, it's kind of like everybody running around about stop snitching until your family member get killed.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, will y'all come forward and tell what happened? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
Right.
Yeah, so it is. All right, Serge Ibaka.
Woo.
Nice move. Serge Ibaka.
That's the greatest move. Hey, that might be the best move. You ain't even said it yet, but that might be the best move.
So now,
in 15 years.
And so that's going to make the Raptors, that's going to turn the Raptors into really contenders in the East instead of pretenders, because they was really pretenders before he got there.
So now, let me set it up. He was trying to, he had some stones thrown, throwing stones saying, well, I'm really just sitting on the corner, in the corner waiting on them to throw me the ball. Mm-hmm. He gets traded to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Now he's traded to Toronto
for nothing at all.
He has made five times more 3-point shots than they whole entire power forward roster.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, my assessment of it is, now you have a situation where Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan can actually use the pick and pop.
Mm. Yeah,
and they don't even use it now because there's nobody to.
They try to your boy from Kentucky. What's his name?
Patrick
Patterson.
Patrick Patterson. He's a pick and pop player.
He's made five times more 3-pointers than they power forwards all together.
They don't really use Patterson as part of the offense. It's dribble around and take not a 23-foot 3-pointer, but a 22-foot 2-pointer.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now you got.
But now they can spread the floor.
What's the big guy in the middle? Valanciunas.
He's good.
Yes, he is.
Ibaka, who can help on the weak side, block shot.
Yes.
You got DeMar Carroll at the 3, DeRozan, and Lowry.
I like it.
Your thoughts on the trade?
I thought it was a great trade because now you do have a stretch four and a defensive presence. Legit. Another big body to help defend that thing in Cleveland.
Legit.
You know, so, you know, that nuclear weapon in Cleveland is coming.
And the African strong.
Yeah, so, you know, exactly. Definitely.
Watch
exactly.
out, Danny Ferry.
I'm black, though.
So with Valanciunas, which I watched them do a lot of time, they run him up high where they run a little screen and he'll dive or he'll pick and pop from that area. The thing about it is what Ibaka does is stretch the floor a little bit more to give DeRozan a little more room to maneuver. Yeah. He doesn't shoot the threes.
At all.
So DeRozan, it still gives him space by bringing in Ibaka because he doesn't need to be in there to score.
No.
So I think that helps. It helps that Kyle Lowry now can penetrate. If that wing does come to help when he beats his man or whatever, he can kick to the corner somebody who's reliable from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. You know, and also on the break, Ibaka running the floor, finishing. You know, he's an athletic big. Mm-hmm. So with that defense, stretching the floor, whatever, I think it made them at least, you know, somebody at Cleveland got to say, okay, we're going to have to play when we play them.
And they
added
sure
a piece.
Uh-huh.
So, and with, you know, nothing is said, I'm almost on – things just have not happened right. And for some reason, I just don't think that we're going to get the finals that everybody's talking about this year. That's just a little precursor because we still got a lot of season. But everybody went in saying Golden State and Cleveland, but something's telling me it's not going to happen.
Okay. Tiffany, what you think about the trade?
It's the perfect trade for Toronto because they needed somebody else to really help them become contenders in the East. Like, yeah, they was making the playoffs, but, like, I never saw them really beating Cleveland like that, like, ever. And now I actually think that with them and Ibaka that they actually have a chance to compete with Cleveland for real because, really, they really weren't on that level. That's why I said they was pretending. And right. Now they can contend because, I mean, Lowry and Rosen, like, they seem like they always doing all the work at times. And so now with them adding him, that's going to spread things out for them even more and everybody can really be involved.
They will.
I'm going to tell you, the trade is, like I say, it may be the best trade in the last 15 years. When you think about personnel and what a team actually needed. But I'm going to give you two things right here, and I'm going to go deep on one, so I need y'all to follow me. What the hell is Orlando doing?
Tanking?
I don't even think they're doing that, because here's my point. You went and got Serge Ibaka. You gave away a first-round pick and a good player for Serge Ibaka.
Right.
Somebody you brought in to only give away to Toronto
for nobody.
For Terrence Ross and a first-round pick.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing down there in Orlando? Like, You're not. That's not tanking. That's not even. That's worse than what.
That's just being stupid.
Yeah, I believe that's just bad front office.
It really
moves.
Is.
I believe that. Yeah. So I'm not understanding what they're doing. I don't know if it's a back room under the table deal between them and.
With Orlando, they also signed Biyombo as a free agent.
And see, that's where I was
and
going.
Him and Ibaka couldn't play together.
Right. But where did Bismack Biyombo come from?
Toronto.
So that's my point. He is a better Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to go out on a limb. All right. I'm finna go out on a limb. This is my second thing. Toronto's going to win the East.
I think so.
And listen, not only will they win the East, they're going to win the number one seed, which is going to give them home court advantage
in the
playoffs. Yeah. And my thing is, with Kevin Love being out in Cleveland.
For six weeks.
If you look at that roster on paper, and I know paper means nothing, but if you look at matchups, the edge goes to Toronto.
Absolutely.
All right? Because, of course, LeBron James is the ultimate equalizer. Kyle Lowry is a pit bull.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you like this. Kyrie is not getting off on Kyle Lowry the way he gives. Exactly. The way he gets off on Steph.
Yeah.
All right. Because Steph is not as physical or as strong as Kyle Lowry.
Right.
So that's a wash.
Yeah.
Now it comes down to Kevin Love and Serge Ibaka. Kevin Love is coming off a knee scope.
Yep.
All right.
And back problems.
Yep. And if you watch him this year, granted, he has had a great year so far. He's just a three-point shooter.
Yep.
Nothing more. He's not a defender. Serge Ibaka can literally take him away. And also, you know what Serge Ibaka can do? He can switch out on that pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So now Toronto can switch everything. Because if you get Ibaka 17 to 22 feet on LeBron James, I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with that matchup. Granted, LeBron might get to his spot, but I'm comfortable Serge Ibaka can make up that space. What's his name? Ibaka.
Yep, his name is Serge Ibaka.
You will. Now, you say Toronto is going to win the East. They can definitely win the East. But do you think that, or can Cleveland make another move before the trade deadline? Or, you know, will they pick up somebody
to
out
get
of the
who, guess,
so. That's my point.
Do they have to make another move? And what is that move?
I'm going to tell you, I think they have to make another move. But here's the only issue. There's no
nobody
move to
that's what I'm saying. You can't. What
like, they're kind of strapped. Unless they're going top heavy, I'm giving away Kevin Love. I'm trading Kyrie Irving. Unless you're going there to get a difference maker back, getting a Derek Williams is not about to help you.
No, it's not.
Getting a Kyle Korver is not about to help you get over the hump.
No.
They need like LeBron has said for the last 4 weeks, I need a playmaker.
Uh-huh.
There is no playmaker that's available right now within the next week and a half. What, we got like 13 days?
Yeah, that's
before the trade deadline?
Uh-huh.
It's no move to be made that's going to put them over the hump.
It's not.
So to answer G's question, it's no move to be made. Even if we can sit here and speculate who would help them, but can they actually get that player? No.
8 days for the trade.
Oh, 8 days. That's even worse.
All right. Speaking of playmaker, then let's go to the rumor that's out now is DeMarcus Cousins being traded to the Wizards for Bradley Beal, Otto Porter Jr., and I think another pick.
Boy, sign me up.
I just would hate to lose Bradley Beal.
I was thinking that same thing.
The Wizards should try to keep Beal or Porter. Keep one of them.
Right, that's now, what I'm saying. Like,
Porter is shooting it right
it's
now.
It's coming out, or it's came out, that with the surgeons of John Wall, Beal and Wall just don't like each other at this point.
Like I told you earlier, they playing so well together.
Like, you can't tell.
They both playing well together right now. So I don't, if they didn't like each other, learn how to get along.
Right. Like, come on. Y'all playing
y'all
good.
Better together right now.
Exactly.
So I guess the question is, does Cousins make the Wizards better even if they traded they shooting guard and they –
You better keep Otto Porter.
You got to keep one of them.
I'm going to tell you. And the only reason I agree with the trade and I'm on the other side of the fence is because – I'm liking the resurgence of Kelly Oubre. right.
Okay. Oh, I think he's in the trade too.
Oh, watch him.
Hell no.
They do it too much.
Yeah. And I think McLemore comes back.
No.
And of course you got DeMar's kids.
They need Ben's to cancel that.
Ben's not that
they need to cancel that.
Yeah, Ben McLemore's like I say, if you're gonna get rid of Otto Porter, I believe for Washington Bradley Beal is expendable. I understand they're playing well, but they're playing well for a stretch. At some point, the water sinks to his level. Ain't it what you say, Hancock?
Yeah. Water sinks his level.
At some point, that relationship is going to get strained again. Mm-hmm. It may be a game that something happens. It may be in a locker room. Something's going to happen to have them separate to what, because you don't dislike each other and then become friends and then take off. If you don't like somebody, you don't like somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's kind of like Shaq and Kobe. Right. Somebody has to go for them to actually ascend. Now, if you're going to get rid of, I agree with getting rid of Beal, but if you're going to get rid of Beal and Otto Porter,
they don't need to do
you
that.
Cannot get rid of Kelly Oubre. All right? Because he is.
Do you think Oubre could be that? I mean, I've seen him.
He hasn't gotten the time, though. He's not getting the time.
He has flashes. I watched him a few times this year. He has some flashes.
He can shoot it, man.
Yeah, I can see time. Maybe like you said,
like
time.
I say, he's a second-year player. He hadn't gotten a lot of tick, you know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking if you increase his minutes with the type of production he's giving you, his production should increase. And with him playing with somebody as dynamic as John Wall, who sets everybody up, he's not going to have to do a lot
his role
to get
would change.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let me ask y'all this then. So we're talking about it, how good Washington has been playing, and obviously the trade of Toronto. D. Will has made it quite clear that they're going to win the East. So I'm asking the Jewel and Hancock, who challenges Cleveland for that number one spot, in y'all opinion, if Love is going to be out and they got 8 days to make a move at this point?
Who challenges Cleveland?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to be Toronto is going to challenge it.
Okay.
Facebook Live, and I agree with a lot of people, they're saying the Raptors, Wizards. I don't know about the Hawks. I'm just saying what Facebook said.
Yeah.
Marty said that, but I don't know. I don't know about them contending, but I do see those two teams right now, Washington and Toronto.
What about Boston?
I think Boston can go on. I was about to say I
want to say Boston, but it's just one problem. And D. Will and I talked about it before. When your best player is the size of the jockey in the Kentucky Derby, it's kind of tough.
But ain't nobody stopping
them. I know, and that's in regular season. But see, what happens is in the playoffs, in that crunch time, they'll take him away.
Yep.
And then they'll put it on somebody else and make somebody else beat them. And when I go down the roster to see who else can beat them.
And nobody can.
I don't see it. Because you can take him away
easily
when you take him away. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right now, regular season, they're going to let him get away. But they're going to, just like, it gets more physical.
For it's 7 games.
They let them play. They know your sets. They put you in places where they want you to go.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So all those flip-up, easy layups he gets in game situations now are going to be that much more difficult in playoff time.
So his fourth quarter efficiency
is awesome.
Gonna be,
it's awesome right now.
Right, but I'm saying in the playoffs it's going to be gone.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's the only thing about him. I mean, he's 5'6", man.
Yeah, he's not 5'9". Him and Floyd Mayweather really, are standing eye to eye.
Like, he's 5'6".
Yeah, he about 5'7".
He about 5'7" at the most.
Yeah,
5'9" with shoes?
Damn, what he got? Some
thick soles.
He got some high heels on.
You think about NBA players.
Yeah.
And when they want to take him away, they're going to take him away.
Say it like this. Imagine they're in a series against Cleveland. It's the fourth quarter. They put LeBron on him. He's X'd.
Yeah, LeBron will shut him down.
He can't get to the rack because he can't get around him.
No.
It's going to be hard to get his shot off because he can contest everything. Uh-huh.
And think about it, even with Shumpert and LeBron buzzing.
Liggins.
Liggins, Shumpert, even JR. That's length.
That's 6'5 or better.
And they're going to pay more attention to him because they know that's the head of the snake.
And you know what else we just did? They're going to run every single one of those players at him.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of them are going to get a taste of him. And like you say, we've had this conversation about him in the past. Is he that guy? Can he be that guy on a team? And we went back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, we've actually
flip-flopped. But
y'all saying no now.
I've always said no.
He's always said no. Yeah. I've said he's great, but what I saw in the playoffs, I saw him kind of take him away. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, seeing it sometimes kind of just you have to go with what you see. Hey, when with what my eyes show.
Is Brad Stevens gonna call us about giving the scouting report? Basically, that's what we just
did. You know who they need though. You know who Boston is really missing right now? Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk is the missing piece because he is that stretch four.
Well, he has spurts because you know FanDuel did that play.
Yeah.
He has spurts where he'll come up and put up 25.
Yep,
he'll put up those numbers and whatever, and then he'll disappear because I don't think Boston doesn't have a true 7 or 8 players that they're gonna play all the time.
Right? Yeah,
it's almost filled with him. Mm-hmm. You'll get. You know, the kid out of Oklahoma State.
Smart
will play big minutes sometime. And then Texas kid, you know, I can't think of his name. Avery Bradley. Those guys, you see what I'm saying? He's hurt right now.
Yeah, he can't stay healthy.
Right. Yeah. But and then even 99 with the Braves.
Crowder.
Come on, G-Money, help me out.
Hey, backslap.
Yeah, there you go.
That's his nickname.
Yeah, backslap. So all those guys, but they kind of like don't have defined minutes and roles. It's kind of like, what's happening?
Wow, you know what? That's you just true. He was talking, you just drew a parallel for me. You know who the Boston Celtics are?
Who's that?
The Atlanta Hawks.
They are. That, and that's why they got Al Horford.
Well, listen, let me just say
think
it like this.
It.
We're going to get to these rookies grades real quick. But and that one player could be Lou Williams that could actually come to Boston to help them out because when you take Isaiah away, well, we saw what he did last night. He just missed the game winning shot. But that's just something to think about.
If Lou Williams goes to Boston, it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
So, they're trying to move
just
him.
Just real quick.
That's what they said.
Olynyk is playing tonight.
He is going to play tonight? Yeah. That's good. Hopefully he can be
consistent tonight and get some buckets.
Yeah. All right, the rookies. Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Dragan Bender, Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray, Marquise Chris, Jacob
Pirtle,
and who was number 10? Thon Maker.
He's just starting to play.
You don't have to now that your boy is out.
Does anybody get an A out that group?
Go through them real quick again.
Well, Ben Simmons hadn't played.
Of course.
Brandon Ingram.
I keep forgetting
about Jaylen Brown.
No.
Brown's coming, though.
Yeah, he's playing well.
Dragan Bender.
No.
Chris Dunn.
No.
Buddy Hield.
No.
Jamal Murray.
No.
Marquise Chris.
No.
Jacob.
Pirtle.
No.
Thon Maker.
No. None of those.
None of those players are getting – they're not getting a whole lot of playing time. I think the one who's getting probably the most playing time is
– Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray, a little bit, and Buddy Hield.
He just goes up and down. Yeah. I think Hield's getting more time than any of them.
Yeah, he is. And he is, where is his shot going?
Man, I'm like, what has happened to him?
You need to call your boy from Duke and find out. JJ's didn't travel either for a long time.
JJ
left Hield at Cameron for a long time. So
this is crazy. I mean, he had a jumper.
But I told y'all when he was coming out, we sat on this show and argued about it.
That's true, we did.
I told y'all. He has an issue because he can't create his own shot.
He can't even hit open looks, though.
But here's the thing. It gets into your head.
Yeah.
Once you get into a rhythm and you're like, man, I can't get off. Now when it is time, you're pressing. You're just like, oh, I got an open shot. I got to knock it down.
Oh, my God.
And it's not going.
And it ain't going
nowhere. This
is
what I said about a lot of players that stay those 4 years. It's a reason.
Hey, man.
It's a reason.
And that's proof right there, man.
That's proof. So if the top 10 look like that, and Ben Simmons haven't even played.
I say Simmons is going to be a superstar. That's just me. Right. And you heard it from me.
You said it a lot of times.
I think he's going to be a superstar. I promise I think he's going to be that.
I got to see it. I still don't see
it. Yeah, Embiid is the one that shocked me. Right. But he's a baller. I'm telling you.
It's his scoring ability. I want to see him. Can he score on a consistent basis?
Magic couldn't score.
Magic, yeah.
You remember?
Magic couldn't shoot.
But it was a different game.
Magic didn't have to score.
It was free throw line down.
Exactly. Now, Ben Simmons is big enough to get where he needs to get to score.
True.
See, that's the thing about it. He's not a skinny kid.
True.
He's got size. We already know he got ball handling.
Yeah.
Passing ability. Sees the flow.
Yeah.
I just think the NBA game is there for him.
Do you think he has to play point guard to be successful?
I think so. I don't know how to run it through him, I think.
Maybe not name-wise point guard. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But
point forward
he put it in his hand all the time.
Yeah, put it in his hand. Run the offense through him.
Right.
It that way.
So it doesn't, you know. And I think he can hurt you.
You feel the same about him?
No, nobody but me.
I'm going to ask Tim Nick.
I think he's going to be able to hurt you. I think he's going to hurt you from a, like, I think he can put him in the elbow and hurt you. I think you can post. He can post and hurt you.
So you think you can play him like LeBron?
I think he can. Yes, he sees the floor well enough. He sees the floor,
but
man.
He score. LeBron can score.
Yeah.
Whenever LeBron wants to put it in the hole,
he going to the bucket or he's going to put it in the hole.
He's 6'9", 225. He's 230.
He's going to be able to score, man.
All right, real quick before we go to a sports update. Oakley.
Put that one down.
Oakley denies the invitation that Dolan lifted the ban that he can actually come back to the arena. Charles Oakley said he needs an apology and he wants a press conference and he needs to apologize to him and the fans.
I mean, they did slam him all down. Dang, he's a New York legend. They treated him like crap.
They claim he has a drinking problem. Yeah. Like, no evidence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they dogged him, man. Yeah,
dogged him bad. They do owe him an apology. I mean, he don't need no press conference. But
he said he want a press conference.
Did you hear the interview?
He a little too far.
Yeah, that's a little too far.
They talked about it. He said that when he was locked up with the handcuffs down the tunnel, they came down hollering about it. They had MJ on the phone. He said, if he don't have the key, I don't want to talk to him. He said, what are you going to do to me? He can't get me out of these handcuffs.
That's good.
Was a good one.
And on the MJ note, did y'all know 27 years ago, yesterday, somebody stole MJ's jersey in the locker room.
And he had to
wear. He had to wear number 12.
Oh, yeah. Do you know? Listen.
And he finished with 49 points.
Oh, my God. Can I tell y'all something about that? I had a Nobody Tops basketball card of an Orlando Magic player back in the day. On everything, on this player's card, he is shooting a layup. Underneath him is Michael Jordan looking up wearing number 12. I was looking like, why does Jordan have him? Listen, if I had that card today, I would be rich.
Yeah, you really would. No, you would be.
It was a Tops. I have no idea where it is. Bruh, I can't even remember who the player. Yeah. It was like what's the boy? Olden Polynes. It was somebody like that.
Didn't Mitchell and Ness, they commemorated this time with a few replica jerseys or something. They
might have posted it on the
NBA.com is selling the infamous number 12 jersey. Okay. I can probably get it for like $300.
I can't get it.
I don't know who in their right mind would get it. What hype beast would go get the number 12 jersey. But it is on sale.
I might snatch that.
Wow. Depends on how I do on DraftKings tonight.
There you go. All right, man. It's time to get to our last sports update. We're coming back with the SRT Fun Bag. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable.
And now it's time for a sports update.
Welcome to your final sports update of the night with the Jewel of Sports, Tiffany Boyd, on the Sports Roundtable Show. On February 26th, the Detroit Pistons will retire Rip Hamilton's number 32 jersey in a halftime ceremony when the Pistons host the Boston Celtics. They just retired Chauncey Billups' number 1 jersey on February 11th, and they retired Ben Wallace's jersey last month. So the organization is really trying to honor that 2004 title team that defeated the Lakers in 5 games. The NCAA is going to experiment with new foul rules during the NIT tournament, which we all know is basically a consolation tournament. But a few of those rules, it's basically going to be foul rules. They're going to each team will be limited to a team total of 4 personal and technical fouls during each 10-minute segment of each half. So in any overtime period, when a team has reached a total of 3 personal and technical fouls, all subsequent personal fouls and technical fouls will result in 2 free throw attempts. So the fouls will basically be reset halfway through each half, and the bonus will be replaced by double doubles, like double bonuses, basically.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
They trying to see if it's going to work there, because they really want to institute it in the entire NCAA.
Why don't you just go to pro rules and 4 team fouls you shooting?
Yeah, basically.
Get rid of 1-1.
Yeah, they should. Usain Bolt may have lost one of his gold medals because one of his teammates was doping, but he just won his fourth Laureus World Sportsman of the Year award. The only other athletes to get that honor four times are Roger Federer, Serena Williams, and surfer Kelly Slater. Simone Biles, who basically dominated in gymnastics at the Olympics, she won the Laureus Sportswoman of the Year award. And Usain Bolt says that he will retire from athletics this year after the World Championships in London in August. He said that he's done everything he wanted to in the sport, so it's time for him to walk away. The New York Giants have released wide receiver Victor Cruz, so no more salsa time in the Meadowlands. He had 2 years remaining on his contract, and the team wanted to cut him in order to save money. He was due a base salary of $6.4 million and $7.4 million over the next two seasons. After cutting him, the Giants will save $7.5 million against the salary cap, and if they would have kept him, he would have counted against them for $9.4 million. So they had to release him.
Okay, he had to go.
Yeah. And that's a wrap on your final sports update of the night with the Jewel of Sports. You can catch the Sports Roundtable show every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on AM 1100 WRN.
SRT Fun Bag, go. Go.
Think, since you're thinking now, go on, think.
No,
is it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir. Zero.
Funny. What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Are we having fun yet?
SRT Fun Bag. Facebook Live. Let's get them numbers up. It's time to interact with us, and we are interact with you.
Number Facebook Live.
Give me a number. We will read the question. This is the SRT Fun Bag, of course. Let's see. I don't have a number yet. Waiting on the number. But did Victor Cruz even salsa dance this year at all?
Not much.
I think I might have saw it one time.
Yeah, he didn't do it a lot.
Wow.
Somebody said them Grizzlies y'all need to watch out for.
All right, Dan said number seven. I got seven here. All right, number seven. Should they remake Scarface?
I heard about a Scarface remake.
The Coen brothers are doing it.
Yeah. Oh, it's
with,
coming out.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's not doing it anymore.
Okay.
They got the Cuban dude. He played in something here recently.
Yeah.
But I
say no.
No.
Tip.
It's just some movies that you don't need to touch.
Yeah, I think it's all time.
And that's one of them. Don't touch that movie.
Right. I think some movies you leave alone. Yeah. That's one of them. What are you gonna do? You can't bring him back. He died. So
he
was the man.
It.
I mean,
there's not another Al Pacino.
You already seen it.
So,
I think no.
I say no.
It's like Coming to America. You can't redo it.
It's gonna be Diego Luna.
That's him.
Yeah. All right, Dad say no. Nah, don't make it. Don't mess with the classic. Five.
Hey, but hold on, stop. Before y'all do know that the Scarface we're talking about was a remake. Y'all do know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But right. I wasn't born yet. So
yeah, well, none of us born yet. It was in the 30s.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that was a remake. So I'm saying.
Good deal.
That's so what they do for each new generation or something? Like, they want to make one?
Maybe. All right, number five. Name a famous movie that you have not seen.
E.T.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I just can't get into that kind of
You got kids, though. Your kids ain't never seen
Star Wars. You want to know?
I haven't seen Star Wars for me. All of the Indiana Jones and Lord of the Rings.
You do with?
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen Harry Potter. I've never seen Star Wars. I've seen a little bit of Star Wars.
I have. You know what I'm saying?
I saw Spaceballs. That's different.
Not the same kid.
Not the same.
The parody of Star Wars.
Yeah, I saw that one.
For me, Star Wars.
Damn, ain't nobody seen Star Wars?
Star Trek.
I never got to that.
Come on, I've seen it.
I saw the show. I ain't never seen the movie.
I've seen a couple of the movies, too. But
sci-fi.
What you got? No sci-fi?
Yeah, I haven't seen the Star Wars, Star Treks. I haven't seen any of the Harry Potters, and it was a bunch of them, right?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
I saw the Lord of the Rings.
Got a nine over here.
All right, nine. This is a funny one. Who still remembers your home phone number as a kid?
Oh, that's easy.
I do.
I do.
You do?
Yeah. 774-0574.
Mine was 288 8608. Listen, y'all want to know something crazy?
Did you finish the number?
Yeah, I said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. Okay. You didn't have to put the area code in back.
Yeah, back then I ain't had to. Put let me tell you, y'all on Atlanta. Y'all want to know a crazy phone number I remember from my childhood? My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, who used to be his girlfriend, I remember her phone number. I ain't going to say it on the air because they still got
they
the number.
They still got the number.
And, when pages came out and I had a pager, my number was 992-TIFF.
Okay. Well, I remember mine, 799-0133.
Yeah. So. I had my own line, and I remember my parents' number, but I do not remember my own line number.
Yeah.
I had my own line in high school.
G, you remember your number as a kid?
Yeah, and I'm not going to say it because my parents still have that.
Oh. All right, give me two more numbers. We got two more. We got about two more minutes. All right, I got one. Number four. Rank these actors. This might end the show because this might take a minute. Will Smith, Denzel Washington, Robert De Niro.
I'm going to say Denzel just because.
You rank it from 1 to 3.
Oh, Denzel, Will, Robert. I'm putting the brothers first.
And that's exactly what I did too. Robert.
I go Denzel, I go De Niro, and then I go Will Smith.
Yeah, I go Denzel, De Niro, and then Will Smith.
Yeah, I'm going Denzel, Robert, and then Will. Will didn't get no love on that one, bro.
And I Will got it from me, too.
Yep, he got second on our list.
Hey, we the 80s babies. That's why.
Yep, that's why.
All right. How would you spend your Netflix watching what show? Martin, Sanford and Son, Good Times, or The Cosby Show?
That's not fair.
No.
That ain't fair. Because you got to understand.
Martin, Sanford and Son, Cosby Show.
And Good Times.
Oh, my. That man, start the music. That ain't fair, bro.
Man, that's tough.
That's tough. I'm going to tell you. Can I go first?
Yeah.
Martin, number one. That's my favorite sitcom of all time.
Well, I mean, you got to rank them. Which one would you watch all day on Netflix?
Well, all of them.
You got to choose one. I'm going with Sanford and Son.
I'm going with Martin.
Hey.
I guess Marty Mark.
Yeah, I guess Marty Mark.
Man.
Yo.
See?
Got to go with Martin. I mean, that's the first one I know that I've watched every single episode. And I'll watch them all again.
Yes.
Get the step.
Like, G. I like when he's playing G.
My mama bitch.
Stop it with the bitch. All right, last one. Hold on. I think I had one more. Boy, y'all love the same.
And the way he was roasting Pam all the time.
B2B.
Yo, that's the funny.
All right, this is the last one. How many days can you survive without your cell phone? How many days can you survive without your cell phone?
Zero.
I say one.
I can go a couple of days.
I can go as long as I got a tablet.
As long as I got a tablet. Yeah, if I got a computer, I can go longer than that.
Yeah, you can have it.
You can take the phone.
At most, one day.
Yeah,
one day.
I agree.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not making it 24 hours.
Yeah.
Not making it. Yeah. Not happening.
That's it. All right, man. That's it for the fun bag. Y'all love to say.
Get to stepping.
Hey, man. It's been a great show. SRT, man. Oh, my God. I want to thank our sponsors, Jay's Used Cars, Big Boy Cigars, and, of course, the Big Easy for helping us out doing our thing. I want to thank the crew for coming in, doing your thing. The loyalty is real, and boy, y'all do it all the way. And the loyal listeners, thank you. G-Mun, of course, thank you, sir. And thanks for all the new listeners. If you haven't been tuning in, you've been deprived.
I want to give a shout out to all the ladies that listen and support the SRT show. Shout out to all the loyal listeners. Shout out to my dad, Al Boyd. Thanks for your support. Shout out to my fiance, Terrell Jones. Thank you for your words and your support. I love you. Shout out to my SRT crew. And follow your girl on social media at Tip Get Familiar. Get familiar with your girl.
Shout out Facebook fam. Shout out crew. Shout out everybody else who's out there listening. Appreciate the love. Y'all keep listening. We keep doing our thing. Follow me at Sports Superhero.
Dot. SRT.
My man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
You're giving out the wrong info.
hey, that's why y'all help me.
Yeah. Hey, man, shout out to the crew, man. Shout out to the wifey. Shout out to my crew, man. K9 gang in the building, man. Salute to y'all. Man, I got a lot to say, but I ain't going to say it. And I had a special shout out, but I forgot about who it was. So you're in my head and heart. So follow me on social media at I am Coach K9. That's I am Coach K as in King in the number 9.
You forgot?
I forgot they shout out.
He said it's in my heart.
No, they in my heart.
They in your heart?
Yeah, they in my heart.
Oh, that was special. Valentine's Day was the other day, too. So at least they in your heart.
Damn, you trying to get me in trouble.
Oh, did I?
It wasn't nothing like for Valentine. No. I got a wife.
It was the association.
Kill me.
Oh, my God. Another note. The Falcons hired a quarterback coach and a defensive assistant. Jess Simpson and Bush Hadman?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Jessica Simpson.
That's basically his name.
His name is...
It's Jess.
Jess
Simpson.
Jess, yeah.
Jess, short for Jessica.
He used to coach for Buford.
Hey.
All the way from high school. Went straight to the pros.
Wow.
He must be the best coach on earth.
Hey.
Speaking of talking, did y'all hear my boy Magic? I had to tweet something.
Oh,
don't do him like that.
My man said, Russell Westbrook.
He said what?
He said, Russell Westbrook. Over and over again. I was like, please.
And with that being said, Hancock, get us up out of here, man.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
The jewel of sports is leaving the building.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
you probably like school on Saturday. No class!
We out. Peace.
See ya.